हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिः 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 ॐ जया श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैतगराधर शिवसरिगौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Chapter 22, The Process of Devotional Service. Page 4222, 114 to 118. So starting with the 11th practice. One should avoid offenses against devotional service and the holy name. The 12th item is to give up the company of non-devotees. 13, one should not accept an unlimited number of disciples. 14, one should not partially study many scriptures just to be able to give references and expand explanations.
Maharaj,
yeah.
I have a question actually on the 10.
On the
eight.
10.
On the 8, sorry. 8.
8, okay. Yes. So what is that?
Because it is said one should acquire a livelihood that is just sufficient to keep body and soul together. So what is the meaning of just, considering that also we need to be comfortable?
Well, let's put it like this. For Diogenes, he needs a barrel. And for Yudhishthira Maharaj, he needs an empire.
Okay. So something between.
Something in between those two. Yes. Something in between. Yes. Yeah, so the point is Prabhupada makes the statement that one should be comfortable. Comfortable means you're not uncomfortable. In other words, if you don't think about it, that's comfortable. If you're thinking, wow, this is fabulous. Oh, this is so great. Then that's too much.
Okay.
You know, if it's just, it's normal, it just, this works for you. And you can see, you know, that it's nice like that. It's stable by Krishna's grace. Then that's the amount you want. So each individual will be different because their conditioning is different. And as they advance, that might adjust.
Yes.
You know, so in the beginning, you might need all 15 cars. But after a while, you might find you can cut it down to 12, you know, so like that.
And after finish with the cycle.
Finish?
The cycle.
Yes, with the cycle. Or at least a C2.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, but cycle is also good. So a cycle and a beret, and you're good, right?
Okay.
So that's the point, is that it's not a matter of rationalizing. It's a matter of, if you have this, it's just normal. And if you don't have it, it's uncomfortable.
Yes.
Right? But it's not saying, you can't just say, oh, you like this and that's there. It's what you need. So like Bhima, when they were at Ekachakra, because they were living as Brahmins, you know, incognito. And so then when they were there, they'd go out begging, because as Brahmins, they'd go begging. Then having begged, they would come back, offer everything to Krishna. Then they would take a portion, give that to whoever comes to the door, begging alms, you know, because as grihasthas, they, you know, should give in charity. So the brahmacharis, the sannyasis like that, that come, or, you know, like that, Brahmins who are living by that method. And then what was left, they were divided into two parts, right? One part was for Bhima, and the other part was for the other six of them, right? So the other four Pandavas, Kunti and Draupadi. I mean, no, Draupadi wasn't there yet, but the other, so five of them.
Yes.
And so for Bhima, that was just holding body and soul together, right? You know, so in other words, it shouldn't be difficult, but, you know, it shouldn't be that where, you know, you become whimsical or unregulated, Oh, this is, that was so rich. So I'll go just eat a little less today. And oh, then tomorrow we'll eat this. Oh, now I'm hungry for this. You have
Yes.
to be careful. You have to see that, because what you're trying for in health is regulation. So if you need to eat 10 chapatis, you eat 10. You don't eat 11, you don't eat 9. But if you only need to eat 6 chapatis, you don't eat 10. Right? And if someone else only needs 4, they eat 4. So that's the point, is someone has to be honest themselves and see, what's there.
Yes.
In the beginning in training, then someone you're working under someone, then they might make arrangements for you.
Yes.
It's like 15 brahmacharis in the back of a Sankirtan van, so the Sankirtan leader makes the arrangement. And then they have to be, comfortable with the austerity of only half a bucket of pasta, per day. Like that. So the Sankirtan leader arranges that. So like this, but the grihasthas, then they should be able to figure this out. And the brahmacharis, as with time, then they'll figure it out. And it may be trial and error. You try, in other words, you're trying to be as simple as possible. If it works, you can sustain it, then that's correct. But if by that it doesn't work, then you adjust to what does work. In other words, what's sustainable, that's then, enough, the right amount, the right balance. Right? So what that lifestyle is, then that's you find the lifestyle. Right? The livelihood, then, because otherwise, why work, 12 hours, 16 hours a day to make, huge amounts of money if you're not able to, how you say, chant, do your sadhana, spend time with the family, do other services that are necessary? What's the point? So therefore, you find a livelihood that works for you. Does that make sense? Yeah.
Thank you much.
Okay. Srila Prabhupada. Accepting an unlimited number of devotees or disciples is very risky for one who is not a preacher. According to Srila Jiva Goswami, a preacher has to accept many disciples to expand the cult of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This is risky because when a spiritual master accepts the disciple, he naturally accepts the disciple's sinful activities and their reactions. Unless he is very powerful, he cannot assimilate all the sinful reactions of his disciples and has to suffer the consequences. Therefore, one is generally forbidden to accept many disciples, right? Because otherwise, people go, well, he does and who does, but you see, it's no, there's those who can do that, they do. So it's very individual, because you see amongst the acharyas, some have thousands, some have one. Right? So it's just, what is working in for your situation. So we see in here is that the Krishna consciousness, the 64 items in that, are very much geared to see that the individual is nicely situated in Krishna consciousness. Because the movement is about individuals, but it's not so, but so the individual has to be addressed because they have to move forward in Krishna consciousness. And as you are Krishna conscious, to that degree, you are able to be inspired in the preaching mission. So, but at the same time, it's not that preaching and everything stops for an individual, right? So you can't say, oh, this project, unless they're there and they can't be there, they're sick, so we have to stop everything. No, you have to balance it. So it's not about exclusively about the individual. It's not exclusively about the institution or the like this. So it has to be a balance, just like a Chintaveda Veda Tattva. That is not exclusive monism or no exclusive duality. So sometimes you see individuals will, how you say, push one or the other. Traditionally, how you say, famously, someone who has authority issues will always be talking about the individual, just because they want their own freedoms. And many times you see those in a position of authority, they want everybody to just, it's not about the individual, it's about the preaching, it's about Krishna, it's not about you, Prabhu, it's not like that. So for themselves, it's not about you. So you preach the prayer, it's not about you, Prabhu, but it doesn't mean that the authority shouldn't be worrying about the individual. Right? In other words, the individual is trying to do everything for the mission, and the authorities are trying to see that that particular individual is advancing nicely themselves, because the point of service is that you advance. But if the whole point is other aspects of the service aren't going well, you know, then what's the point? Right? So that's the whole thing. It's a collective of individuals. But it's not that the individual at the expense of everything, that, or the other way around. One has to see the balance. There must be maturity. So that's why leadership then means maturity. Management means you're good at managerial techniques, but leadership means there's some maturity. You can inspire others. Yeah. One should not partially study a book just to pose oneself as a great scholar by being able to refer to scriptures. In our Krishna consciousness movement, we have therefore limited our study of the Vedic literatures, the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. These four works are sufficient for preaching purposes, right? Everything's in them. So that's why we see is that even Upadeshamrita and Ishopanishad, they're just supporting literatures of these. Right? So these are what we study. These are our books. Right? And so then any other book has to be seen in the context of these books. So you don't just read other things so you can quote from here and there and everything, you know, and sound like a scholar. The point is from these books, pure devotional service is explained. From these books, you can convince someone else and show them how to practice Krishna consciousness. Then naturally, as that grows, then you become more and more mature in understanding what these four books are saying. So these four books, you know, are sufficient, as Prabhupada says. Right, so we see in the beginning, we're studying the Bhagavad Gita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ishopanishad, Upadeshamrita, because Upadeshamrita is supporting Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and Ishopanishad is supporting Gita, because Gita is known as the Gita-Upanishad. It's the essence of the Upanishad. So then an Upanishad will be in support, you know, for us in the Bhagavad Gita. Upadeshamrita, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So we begin there, because then you know the tattva and you know the bhakti. Right? Then after that, you study Bhagavatam, which will then give how great personalities have taken these two points and applied them in their life and become perfect. And then Chaitanya Charitamrita has someone as a Gaudiya Vaishnava, specifically interested in worshiping Radha and Krishna and Vrindavan, and how in the contemporary age they've applied that in their life. Then that is there. So in other words, the Bhagavad Gita and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, they're giving the supporting platform for Bhagavatam, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is giving the postgraduate study like that. So Bhagavatam is our central book. But for, you know, someone for preaching and that, you give them one book, you give them the Bhagavad Gita, they do nicely like that. Yeah. They are adequate for the understanding of the philosophy and the spreading of missionary activities all over the world. If one studies a particular book, he must do so thoroughly. That is the principle. By thoroughly studying a limited number of books, one can understand the philosophy. Because otherwise, you see many times people who get into the scholarly pursuit, they read all kinds of things, but they don't know what the essence is because they haven't properly studied any one particular book. And so, yes, they will catch the various forms and the examples, but they may not catch the essential point that's being made. Right, because that you have to go through and study nicely, then you see. Just like I remember some devotees were developing a Bhakti Shastri course. And in so doing, you know, they had done a first study of going through the Gita. Then they were doing a thematic study. And in going through the thematic study, then they had picked out, I think it was 12 or 14, I don't remember. Themes that they wanted to bring out. And so then in discussing, then they mentioned all the different themes, but not one of them was how Krishna throughout the Gita is saying that Krishna is saying, you know, just do your duties, you know, without attachment, with knowledge, dedicated to Krishna, you know, in devotion to Krishna. Even though that comes up so many times throughout the work, you know, almost that exact verse. Sometimes Krishna mentions it with the knowledge or without, or with detachment or without, or like this. But then that main point is there. It's always the doing your duties with to please Krishna, you know, with proper understanding. Right here it says, adequate for understanding the philosophy and spreading of the missionary work. But that didn't come up because it was just one book in, you know, so many books. It was just more of a scholarly pursuit. It was based on the modern approach of inductive knowledge. And so they were using some nice, you know, techniques and this and that, but they actually missed one of the essential points. You know, you know, the modes of nature, or, you know, do your duties, or the yoga ladder, or, you know, they'll catch some of these technical points that are important, but the actual essence was not seen. So it's that's why then you stick to a limited number of books. And those books, then everything is seen in that context. You're not studying all the any other books. So if there is other things coming up, just like Rupa Goswami mentions in the earlier one, that you approach the previous acharyas through your acharya. One must follow in the footsteps of the previous acharyas and follow the directions given by the spiritual master. So that kind of approach has already been made. So even if you know, you do hear things from other books and all that or something, but you have to see it in that context. So it always has to be brought back to that central point. Then from there, you can actually understand. But otherwise, this idea, if I know more knowledge, I'll know more. But Krishna is unlimited. So which knowledge? Okay, you know this side, but you know nothing about that side. So if you're dealing with the unlimited knowledge, Krishna is unlimited. He's expanding at every moment. So if Ananta Dev with 1,000 mouths, who is Vishnu Tattva himself, and he can't explain. So why would that be the endeavor? Right? The endeavor has to be is that one's knowledge about Krishna is to bring one closer to Krishna. Because knowledge about Krishna means understanding our relationship with Krishna. Then we're able to move forward nicely. Otherwise, then there'll be a difficulty. Like that. So Prabhupada's pointing out that's a principle. It's not a detail. It's a principle. By thoroughly studying a limited number of books, one can understand the philosophy. So that's why then Prabhupada gave these courses. Then that's what you're dealing with. Like that. Other literatures are simply supporting. So you see is that what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that's the point. Vishwanath, the others, they bring up, that's the point. Or any books that if you want to know more about this, just go deeper, then this acharya has written this book. You know, like Prabhupada said, if you want to know about Vaishnavas and devotional service and the Lord, then that Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So he's mentioned that book. But other books he didn't mention. He refers to them, but he didn't say study them. In our Bhaktivinoda Thakura, he mentioned the Chaitanya Shikshamrita and the Jaiva Dharma. He may refer to other books, but he doesn't mention that's the study. So he's also there within what the acharyas have written. There's certain things that you, if you know, these books are that, and if you go beyond that, then it should stay within that particular circle of recommended books. Otherwise, then you might miss the point. You know, it's just like we were saying the other day, is that this point of the avatars and the expansions of Krishna, you know, we've been hearing this since the 70s, but we've never seen a list that fully nicely explains it or that sticks in the mind, right? And so then it wasn't until we were going through the Chaitanya Charitamrita and seeing Lord Chaitanya's discussions, then I could see that that may be because we're not starting with the point that Lord Chaitanya makes first as the most important. Because he's speaking the essence to Sanatana Goswami and to Rupa Goswami. So when he gives a point, that's the central point. Everything else has to be developed from there. Then things work very nicely. But otherwise, then we'll come up with, oh, but this is the same as that. We can put this here. And okay, well, that's there. And, oh, this is mentioned twice. So that means we don't need one of them. You know, but the point is no, if it's repeated, that means there's something important about that. You know? So that's the ideas that one sees this principle is that one, you're trying, because it's a descending process, you're trying to get the essence. From that essence, then everything has meaning. Yeah? Okay. 222, 119 to 120. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. 15. The devotee should treat loss and gain equally. 16. The devotee should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. 17. The devotee should not worship demigods, nor should he disrespect them. Similarly, the devotee should not study or criticize other scriptures. I mean, scriptures that are not ours, there's no need to study them. Right? It's not just like, I think one time devotee was establishing Krishna consciousness based on quotes from the Bible, and Prabhupada made the point, no, we use Bhagavad Gita. You know, you might give an example, but these examples are all well known. Everybody hears about them. Right? So there's no need to go into details of other scriptures or to criticize them. Because the point is the acharyas come to reveal the understanding of Krishna based on the local individuals. Right? And so it had its time, it had its place. But when Lord Chaitanya comes, who's the Yuga avatar, then what he's giving, that's for the whole world. Other things may be limited to a particular time and place. But otherwise, then it's not, one has to see is that there's nothing wrong in what's going on, but it's for a specific group of people. Just like in the Vedic literatures, you don't blaspheme the Vedic literatures. You know, just because something's talking about the glories of Shiva, but it's for those persons that, in other words, it's more important to have faith in the principle of authority than to not. So persons who are skeptical and don't have faith in authority, they're in a worse position than a demigod worshiper who has faith. Because the point is even if they come in contact with pure devotional service in that, unless they gain that faith and authority, they'll have a problem because then they'll speculate. They don't like something. They want to do it this way. They'll just work in the world of their own samskaras, their own impressions. And so it's a value to them. They'll take that as the most important. And so they will have difficulties on the path. So these principles, that's why the descending process, the principles are the first things to know. Further knowledge has to be expanded from there. The ascending is, I learned something in first grade. When I move on to second grade, I may not even use that stuff from first grade. I mean, supposedly it's supposed to be building, but a lot of times there's exceptions and this and that, so it's all thrown out. You know, so that's the funny part, is that it unless one sees that, no, you have to know in this way, like Prabhupada, when he first was discussing the philosophy, the devotees caught that we're not the body, we're the soul, we're servant of Krishna, right? Then, you know, Krishna is the supreme absolute truth. Developing love for him is the ultimate goal, and the process is through chanting Hare Krishna. Every devotee could say that. Even the karmis who would regularly come to the temple and hear philosophy could say that. As the essence of our philosophy, you know, and then other details expand from there. Right? So the whole point is that we're not the body, we're servant of Krishna. That's the first point that Lord Chaitanya makes. when discussing the jiva. Developing love for Krishna is the ultimate goal. That's the main point. Chanting Hare Krishna, devotional service itself, is the process. So in this age, it's chanting Hare Krishna. So everything has to develop from there. Right? If it develops from there, then it's appropriate. If you drop those and replace them with some other more technical or detailed information, you've actually missed the point. Because there's an illusion that more detailed information is necessarily higher. But it's not. It's the principles are what's higher. And when you can understand the detail in context of the principles, now you have higher knowledge. But just having memorized be familiar with details, but not know how they connect with the principle, that means you just, so much knowledge. And that can be a burden. Because then, what do you do? How do you do? Like, remember that other day that one person made the point, is making a whole argument on a codicil. So then the difficulty comes up is that, and what's the point of a codicil? That's not being brought out. They're just bringing out, what not to do. Like as remember before, Bhaktivinoda Thakur makes the point is that, and it came up with Lord Chaitanya, just I think shortly before this, that in the practice of devotional service, you kind of have two focuses of the sadhakas. One is on, one is that I follow the rules. The other one is I don't break the rules. Right? So one focuses on always remember Krishna. The other focuses on never forget. So they're both part of the same process. But we see is that the always remember, that's the primary. Never forget's the secondary. Doesn't mean the secondary is not important. The secondary is how you can see the primary is being manifest because you're absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, being absorbed in Krishna, therefore you're not forgetting. But so when the primary is accomplished, the secondary naturally comes. If one thinks just in those ways, yes, then by focusing on the secondary in connection with Krishna, one moves forward very nicely. So they both aspects are bona fide. But we see is that sometimes it's all, the negative thing. If you don't do this on a codicil, then, you go to hell. If you don't do that, this, that. But what about the benefits of a codicil? Because those points of you don't do this, you go to hell, or you do this and you get so much nice material facility, that's technically meant for the karmakandis. Because otherwise, they don't follow anything. Right? Those who are ritualistic, it's because of the benefits. That's, or the benefits either directly or indirectly, the benefits of not having a problem, then that's what they do. That's what they follow. So it has its place. So, we don't criticize, but the point is one has to know that for the individual, that may be good. But if you try to say that's for everybody, but if the acharyas didn't make that as the essential point, why would a detail be that's for everybody? Because in Manu, which is for everybody, then at least those who are human, that he makes the point is that for every rule, there is an exception. And it's been written that way so that people always can follow the principle. Because there's a principle at work, and then trying to follow that, sometimes the situation isn't favorable. So then knowing what is that, you find an alternative. Just like if you're doing the Abhishek and you don't have honey, then you can use gur, right? Or you don't have some item in the worship, you can use, water, flowers, and sandalwood. You don't have that, you can use the akshata, which is the white rice, where you put some turmeric, some turmeric and a touch of water so it turns yellow, And so that can be used in place. So you have these things, but they're not excuses. One always tries to do the best one can. But then if that's not available, then of course one then does the best one can. So that kind of maturity is, the principle. to develop that, to move forward, to be stable in devotional service, to not be distracted by issues and misgivings and doubts and authority, you know, problems. These things have to be given up to become stable in devotional service. And being stable, then you can see what's important and what's not. You know, it's just like you can say as, you know, let's say we take some of the modern social issues. So someone who, let's say 50 years ago, was a leader in championing that issue, today, by today's standards, they'll consider them conservative. In fact, they'll even, you know, with this modern cancel culture, they'll even say, oh, you know, this guy is bogus. So the whole point is the most change. So saying that, no, this is the right thing, in a short time, it'll be something else. So that's why we don't put our faith in these things. We know what's the principle that's there. So what's the principle you want? Discuss that, because Krishna consciousness already deals with it. But if we're going to discuss on the social detail, an issue, then we're going to have a problem, because why would we do that unless we don't understand or we have a doubt or a misgiving? So then one always tries to move forward to that understanding, because establishing the proper Krishna's viewpoint, that's the real viewpoint. Everything else will change. There's 8 million, let's say, species of life that are not human. So that means if you don't want to follow the Vedic culture, there's 8 million options on how you can do that. So saying that this is right, being this particular iguana or something like that is the thing. Someone else will say, no, but, you know, the chameleon is cool. He could change colors like that. Ah, that's stupid. You know, come on, the Komodo dragon, can he eat all of you? You know, just sitting there. Yeah, but then he's, you know, dry skin and all that. He'd be so much better to be a crocodile like this, you know. But oh no, but people can't trust crocodiles. But an alligator, that they can trust. You know, so this can go on and on and on, depending upon your values. So that's why we don't worry about these things. We worry about what are the principles. And then, yes, if somebody's making some disturbance, then yes, explain the philosophy in such a way that it solves that problem. And if the person's sincere, they may understand it. But if not, at least then the sincere devotees, they would understand it. But trying to make Naradamas understand and appreciate things, and at the same time, then therefore, to accommodate them, which will never be accommodated because they don't want to be, they just want to argue, then you may create doubts in the minds of those who could be sincere. That's not a service. You haven't done preaching. So one has to be very, very careful, is that the principle is where you start, then you expand from there and according to your ability. So that means by just skipping around here and there in different books, you're not going to get the principles. You're only going to see the details. And so then, and you'll look for details that look interesting to you. So the principle has to be the main central point, and that comes by study, right? So manana means I've heard, I've removed doubts, now I practice. By practice, now I start to see practical application. Then I can see, okay, this is working or this is not working. Then that will give you, trying to do that to please Krishna, that will give you realization. Then everything moves forward. So like that, then we try.
All right.
Yes.
we understand that, you know, like you mentioned, Prabhupada gave us four books. These four books are more than enough to become a pure devotee.
Yes.
Now, of course, there are more books that Prabhupada introduced and encouraged that we should read.
Yes.
It seems that devotees, over time, what they do is tick the boxes. I've read this book, I've read this book, I've read these books. Next, I'm going to read this book, and I'm going to buy this book, and I'm going to read this one and that one. But the number of books that are being read compared to the level of realization is just totally out of balance. It just doesn't match. There's too much knowledge, and it's too little realization. And before the devotees know it, they've said, okay, I've read everything. Now I'm interested in reading what other people are writing. And then they get into other philosophies, other religions, even novels, and you know, all sorts of theses, and they just like swim in an ocean of information when they haven't focused on the main objective, which is to make spiritual progress.
Yes, yes. Yes, no, one has to be very careful. That's why this point is made. So Lord Chaitanya is making this because you basically have two paths, that of karma and that of jnana. And so jnana means it's about knowledge. Karma, any knowledge that will further your karma, that then you'll see serious karmis will read and study and learn that knowledge. But the principle of just by knowledge, then you will, you know, how you say, knowledge will set you free. You know, then it doesn't necessarily, just like work does not set you free. It didn't really work, you know. So the whole point is one has to understand that there's weaknesses in this, that one has a good appetite for reading. That's nice. But unless one is seeing it in the context of the Srimad Bhagavatam and Prabhupada's purports, one then, like you said, they'll have so much detail. So some read because it's new stories. Some read because of some different information, you know, new information. Some read because they just like, because of being more onto the side of jnana. Jnana can be more pessimistic. You can have doubts, not accept authority. So anytime there's a strong authoritative statement said, they will quote from scripture to show an opposite to that. What their purpose is just to break down authority, you know, or to start an argument because they like arguments. I've come across that where somebody just likes to argue. So they'll keep saying different things until you get upset and start yelling and screaming. And then they're satisfied, you know, because then it was, you know, a nice, you know, interactive, dynamic, emotional, situation. You know, it gave them taste. So sometimes you have to see what's there. That's why then the devotee also mentions the qualities of being, if you give up material desire and material endeavor and material value, then you can be peaceful. Then when people do try to agitate and this and that, you can survive. You know, otherwise, you know, sometimes you might not, you know, and then if you don't survive, then now it goes to the next question is whether the other person survives or not. You know, once you get upset, you know, so you have to see what happens, you know. So like that, you have to see it in the context of Krishna. Then it has a value. Then it has a real meaning. So yes, is that just reading to read, that it's like, I don't know, back in the 90s, it was everybody wanted to bring up a new story that no one's heard, you know, and then from these nice stories, no bona fide stories and that. So some would bring them up in the context of main stories, and then it would be very nice. But then others just get into stories. I don't know. I remember one point that story of the Tulsi Shaligram, Vivaha, that whole story came up, how Vrinda became Tulsi and Krishna became Shaligram and that, because it's in a Rajasic Purana. So now if you're talking Rajasic, what do people look for? You know, they want something happening here. And so then as everything has its basis, just like Krishna gets his Sudarshan Chakra then from somebody, Arjuna gets his Gandiva bow from somebody, Krishna gets his conch shell from somewhere. But these are eternal things. So you have pastimes to get them. So then some pastimes that are here and some pastimes from the other Puranas to attract the person likes that kind of thing. And so then without bringing it into the context of what the Acharyas say and how Prabhupada's then given us these aspects, then the story just creates confusion. And so, you know, things become a problem. And so then one has to be very careful that bringing these things up, I've spoken on this, I don't know, I need something new, you know, so read something new to come up with something new like that. One devotee was telling me a couple of years ago, I asked him, you know, okay, you know, we're staying at the temple and we're doing a morning and evening class. So previously it would just, you would just say that, this devotee or these devotees are at the temple and they'll be giving class. So then, you know, everyone's, you know, invited. You know, previously everyone would be coming anyway. And then now you invite them and then, you know, like this. But then he wouldn't just say that. He would say, oh, we're speaking on this subject. Right? And I ask him, you know, well, can it just be Bhagavatam? He says, if it's Bhagavatam, no one comes. Only if it's a seminar, then they'll come. You know, because it has to be something different, new, something they haven't heard, something unique. So that comes up when we're not so convinced about the authority of the parampara, the authority of these things, because you find is that we get into, like the other day, then someone has sent me some details on the development of world religions. And one of the points they were bringing up was this aspect of the Sadducees and the Pharisees. Yeah. So the Sadducees tended to be, you know, the priests doing the rituals. So they tended towards Niyamagraha, meaning the rituals were what were important and the material benefits coming from those rituals. Then at some point, then there's going to be, because it becomes very strict and all that, that some sees, no, there's more important. There's the individual and all this and that. So then they go into, then the Pharisees went the other way. And so they went into the aspect of they're following, you know, they find all.
Streaming problem?
Yeah, I think the internet's gone down a little bit.
We're back?
Yes, Maharaj. No.
He's back.
No, it's dropped out. The audio part's dropped out, so it's waiting for it to reconnect. Okay, now it's connected. Marge, if you can hear us, maybe you can keep the camera off, but unmute yourself.
Are we back?
Yes, Marge, but it's the quality is not so good at the moment.
Now we're back?
Yes, Marge.
Okay. Yes. So then the aspect of the, what do you call it? So then they would be finding, you know, how to follow nicely, but generally looking for loopholes and sometimes maybe missing the point that's there. So, you know, it's just like, let's say we are on the Sabbath, you can only walk so much distance, right? But let's say over water, you can travel a further distance. So then when people had to go places, they would get on their camel and pack a lot of water on the camel. So therefore, the water is lower down the camel and you're sitting on the top. So you're riding above, traveling above water. And in this way, you could travel farther. Right? So this kind of thing is a missing the spirit. The spirit is just don't work. It means, in other words, 6 days a week, you work very hard, make as much money as you can. And one day just sit down and just get into your sadhana and, you know, and be a person. That's the principle. And so then not understanding that, then again, ritual, but then you're throwing out rituals that you don't understand. So same main principle is not being dealt with. So these two, you see, anybody who's following any religious process, the danger is always that these two sides will come up. That's why Rupa Goswami mentions it. Someone follows the rule because that's so the important thing. If you don't follow it, then everything's lost. Or the other side is that it's, you know, it's not necessarily important because they don't understand what it's for. So that balance then is always something that one has to try to study. I mean, gain. And so that's what you're looking for in studying the books, you know, associating the Vaishnavas, just looking for that essence. Then everything goes more nice. Does that make sense?
Yes, Maharaj, thank you.
Okay. 222, 119 to 120. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. The devotee should treat loss and gain equally. Now, because sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. That's how the material world works. It goes up and down. So if you're going to gain, that means you have to not have something, you know. And so then, it goes back and forth. So one shouldn't be too disturbed by that. One tries to do one's service. One tries to keep that equanimity. One's, you know, always endeavoring to do your best to get the best result, because those results are for Krishna. So, but one can't it can't disturb one's devotional service where one can't function in devotional service. 16, the devotee should not be overwhelmed by lamentation. We're overwhelmed by lamentation. We're forgetting that Krishna is there and we can turn to Krishna and become absorbed in Krishna, and the problems of the material world go away. Because the problems are our attachment to them, not necessarily the particular problem itself. Right? Similarly, the devotee should not study or criticize other scriptures. Right? So that we mentioned before. The devotee should not hear Lord Vishnu or his devotees blaspheme. So that also, you don't come up. If someone's saying things, then that should not be tolerated. You know, so there is the principle of what's going on. So like we see, Prabhupada would talk about, somebody would talk about the activity that's going on and how that's not useful in devotional service, but wouldn't necessarily talk about the person. So one has to be very careful there. Like, otherwise, then one has to leave. It's not that, oh no, but it's, you know, I thought it. So therefore, because I thought it, therefore then it's something worth hearing. And so therefore everybody in the assembly has to hear me grumble about this or that, and it's my right, but it's also everybody else's right not to listen, as given by Lord Chaitanya. God gave us the right, we don't have to listen. But others think, no, unless you hear me, then you're not, you know, you're not God conscious like this. So you do get all these weirdo kind of things. I have to be careful. 19. Devotees should avoid reading or hearing newspapers or mundane books that contain stories of love affairs between men and women, or subjects palatable to the senses. Because then it's just a matter of the experience gained from that. And then one starts to, you know, be attracted by these particular activities or situations and all that, and one can forget Krishna. So the point is we see in all these, because we, as Prabhupada will point out, that the, you know, in the purport to this, that the first 10 items, those were the do's, what you should do. The second 10 are the don'ts. So in other words, the first 10 give direct action and the second 10 gives indirect action. So in other words, it's pointing out the indirect is don't read these books, read the ones about Krishna. Like that. That's the whole point. So just like before, don't study so many books, just superficial. Study a book very nicely. That's the positive. So that's the whole point, is that in here is that it's just something else to distract the mind, because if something's attractive or this or that, then it can develop desire or interest, or and one gets distracted. And so that's what one's trying to do, is not get distracted. 20, neither by mind nor word should the devotee cause anxiety to any living entity, regardless how insignificant he may be. Right? So one has to always be careful that they're all Krishna's living entities. By karma, yes, they're in a superior or less position within, you know, material status and all that, what we consider. But that doesn't mean that therefore we can deal with them improperly. So we don't show our might, show our this, you know, say we're going to do all this and that. In other words, all it's saying is, if you want to put it into modern lingo, don't be a Karen. Srila Prabhupada. The first 10 items are do, and the second 10 items are don'ts. Thus, the first 10 items give direct action, and the second 10 items give indirect action. 222, 121 to 125. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. after one is established in devotional service, right, the positive actions are, right? So in other words, these 20 establish us in devotional service. Of course, you have yama niyama. That's the first part of yoga. So this is what should be, what you do and what you don't do, right? Right. So yamas, okay. After one is established, okay, then the actions are, now having been established, now you're going to, one, hearing, two, chanting, three, remembering, four, worshiping, five, praying, six, serving, seven, accepting servitorship, eight, becoming a friend, and nine, surrendering fully. One should also, 10, dance before the deed. So these nine processes are going to be there. And so then we'll see details within, you know, these different aspects. Then those are going to be now discussed. So these are of these main aspects, then these are, you know, recommended. These are what's, you know, is considered very appropriate for cultivating that devotional mentality. And someone who is devotional would naturally be inclined to follow these. One should also, 10, dance before the deity. 11, sing before the deity. 12, open one's mind to the deity. 13, offer obeisances to the deity. 14, stand up before the deity and the spiritual master just to show them respect. 15, follow the deity or the spiritual master. And 16, visit different places of pilgrimage or go see the deity in the temple. Right? So these, you see, then are all connected with the Lord. And how you're going to, you know, body, mind, and words, be engaged in doing some nice things in connection with the deity as a person, going to see him, dancing, you know, doing all these different things. Then we have the next group that Lord Chaitanya is giving. One should, 17, circumambulate the temple. 18, recite various prayers. 19, chant softly. 20, chant congregationally. So the two things, one should chant japa and one should do kirtan. 21, smell the incense and flower garlands offered to the deity. And 22, eat the remnants of food offered to the deity. One should, 23, attend aarti and festivals. 24, see the deity, right? So he says, dance for the deity, sing. That means you're seeing the deity. So you've stood up or that, you've greeted the deity, you've gone there, but you should actually see the deity. And then you perform these other activities. 25, present what is very dear to oneself to the deity, right? So there's something you really like and appreciate, you give that to the deity, as long as it's something offered to the deity. You know, I mean, if it's, you know, you just see. So then one can, you know, one, just something important, you give to the deity. So that's then how you can connect things that you like and you're attached to in that. You can't say it's one aspect. You don't now make this the principal aspect. And, no, see, Krishna, his whole life centers around how I deal. But no, it's here. It's, that means something that is very dear one can offer. 26, meditate on the deity. And 27 through 30, serve those related to the Lord. Tadya, those related to the Lord, means the Tulsi leaves, the devotees of Krishna, the birthplace of Krishna, Mathura, and the Vedic literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna is very eager to see his devotees serve Tulsi, Vaishnavas, Mathura, and Bhagavatam. Right? So these are the whole points of the Tadya. Then you see is that all these others up to this point has been about connected with the deity. Now this is connected with those who are connected to the deity. And that's, Krishna is very pleased by that, because you serve him, that's very nice, but then you serve those who are connected to him, and that becomes even more wonderful. Srila Prabhupada. After item 26, meditation, the 27th is to serve Tulsi, the 28th is to serve the Vaishnavas, 29th is to live in Mathura, the birthplace of Lord Krishna, and the 13th is to reach Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. Right, so now you see is right in this, having given all those, we see that these, because they're mentioning basically those main five items, which he'll mention again later. Because here is in some lists you have hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and associated with devotees. But in one list, Rupa Goswami gives hearing Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees and worshiping Tulsi. So Tulsi becomes a major aspect in the, you know, these major items. Yeah. And the 30th is to read Srimad Bhagavatam regularly. 22, 122, 126 to 129. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued. 31, one should perform all endeavors for Krishna. So we see as up to now, it's been the deity and everything connected. And that takes us to another 30 items. So we see 20 items are to establish one in devotional service. Another then 30 items then establish us in activities connected to Krishna, connected to the deity. So we see is that this archon aspect is a major aspect of the 64 items of devotional service. So now then, here are further aspects. 31, one should perform all endeavors for Krishna. 32, one should look forward to his mercy. 33, one should partake of various ceremonies with devotees. Ceremonies like Lord Krishna's birthday or Ramachandra's birthday, right? So the mercy of the Lord, it's not that, oh, I'm so fallen, I can't get the mercies. No, it's that Krishna is the only one that can give that kind of mercy to take us out of material existence, material consciousness. So if one is serving under the bona fide devotees, then why won't one won't move forward, right? Prabhupada, the Acharyas, Krishna himself, they all say that this is possible for every living entity. So one should have that faith. Then one should, you know, be engaged in ceremonies together with other devotees. 34, one should surrender to Krishna in all respects, right? So that means body, mind, and words. 35, one should observe particular vows like Kartik Vrata, right? So you're doing what you regularly do, and then there's specific vows, you know, like the Purushottam month you do, or Kartik, or fasting on the Kadasi, or, you know, fasting on the important days. These are some of the 64 important items of devotional service. One should associate with devotees, chant the holy name of the Lord, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, reside at Mathura, and worship the deity with faith and veneration. These five limbs of devotional service are the best of all. Even a slight performance of these five awakens love for Krishna. Right? So then that sums up, as you see, is that 30 of them directly are dealing with you know, the activities of devotional service, then connect with the deities, you know, our mood, our attitude, but centered around the Lord and the devotees. Then he says the essence of these are there. And so we see that these essential points have been mentioned twice. Srila Prabhupada. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur points out that there are 35 items up to the point of deserving special vows in the month of Kartik. Yes. To these 35 items, another four are added, namely marking tilak on the different parts of the body, writing the names of the Lord all over the body, accepting the deity's garlands, and accepting Charanamrita. These four items are understood to be included by Kaviraj Goswami within archana, worship of the deity. Although these items are not mentioned here, they are to be added to the previous 35 items. But thus the total number becomes 39. To these 39 should be added five others, associates with devotees, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, reading Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, residing in Mathura, the birthplace of Krishna, and worshiping the deity with great respect and veneration. The 39 items plus these fives comes to a total of 44. We add the previous 20 items, the do's and don'ts of these 44, the total number becomes 64. The five items mentioned above repeat previously mentioned items. But, you know, so that means, as we know from the Tatparya Lingas, that in understanding what's the essential point in a discussion, then what you open with, what you close with, you know, your introduction to it, your conclusion to it, what's repeated, what's glorified, these things are to be known as what are essential elements. So here, because this has been repeated, then we know this must be important. So Srila Rupa Goswami states, Anganam pancha kasyasya purva vilik shitasya cha nikila straishtya bodhaya punar api atra samsanam. The glorification of these five items, association with devotees, chanting the holy name and so on, is to make known the complete superiority of these five practices of devotional service. Right. These 64 items. Hmm? Yes.
Okay. In the same line as my previous point about devotees ticking off the list of how many books they read, I've observed that some younger devotees in Krishna consciousness who, just by following the basic rules that Prabhupada gave us, can make heaps of spiritual advancement, and yet yes. They are prepared to overlook these basic principles to get into this extreme practice of the different vows that are recommended in the practice of devotional service. They'll take them to the extreme. They'll go too far, thinking that it's more important. And the reason why they think it's more important is because they think that they'll get some profit, some benefit from it. In other words, instead of learning to give devotion to Krishna, they'll do something to get something out of Krishna.
Yes, yes, yes. So that's, yes. So the point is, it's always going to be, because in the beginning, that faith for Krishna, that'll be the strong focal point, as we see. But as you get up to anartha nivritti, then many times there are different anarthas in that, because for them to go away, one has to actually be focused on that, be determined in those things. And so then one can get distracted by other things if one's not careful. So that's it's something that should be pointed out. Now, if somebody has an ability to always be very austere or stuff like that, then they can do. But the point is what's the point of that austerity if you're not increasing, you know, the devotional activity? So if you're fasting, you know, then that means if you're fasting and not drinking any water, that means you should get in a lot more service, you know, hearing and chanting, because the time spent for eating, the time spent for preparing, the time spent for, you know, cleaning up, the time spent going to the bathroom, all these things are saved. So that means you should be able to get in more chanting or more other services of that. So that's the thing, is that they'll see these rules, but if they don't see the purpose of the rule, then sometimes they can get distracted. So that they have an interest in being more serious and austere, that's nice. It's good. It's you know, it's enthusiasm. And so it's not a bad thing, but still it should be explained so they understand in the context. So you don't discourage them from doing these aspects, but like you said, it should be in balance, and it shouldn't be for any ulterior motive. It should just be to please the Lord. Then it will work very nicely.
For example, someone will do fasting, they'll get some benefit, but then their 16 rounds will be inattentive.
Yes. Yeah. So the point is it's the main items are the main items. Everything else is added to that, you know? And so, because it's recommended, we have a lifestyle and all that. So these activities are then done, but it has to be seen as that if you're going to add something else, then it has to support the main activities. Because as we see, everything is to deal with this, you know, chanting, hearing, associating, serving, worshiping the deity, staying in the dham. Everything's connected with that. And so therefore, following festivals, that's connected with the deity worship. You know, serving, you know, any details like that is all connected with the devotees, or with, you know, doing service in the dham, like cleaning and beautifying, then that's connected with that. So these five, the others all expand from here. And the first 20, it's either they're supportive of, or they're, you know, can be distracted from. So the point being is that you have all those first items to establish yourself, what's the direct and indirect. And then it also shows the mentality of always be surrendered to Krishna. It's all about Krishna, how to do everything for Krishna. And so with that kind of proper attitude, then you engage in all these activities so that you get a balance, right? So that somebody decides, let's say on Janmashtami, to chant 64 rounds, that's a nice thing, you know, because they're trying more and this and that. But it shouldn't be that because of that, then they don't do other things. They don't go to the Abhishek because they're chanting 64 rounds or, you know, like that. In other words, the regular thing's there and you add. The idea is it's not you're replacing, you know, except for, let's say, prasad. replacing the prasad with, you know, chanting, you know. And of course, then the next day, you know, you can always make up for lost, how you say, volume. You know, so yes, it's just that has to, there needs to be that maturity. So that's the whole point of leadership, is to bring out this rather than just, no, it's all about, how you say, it's all about the aspects of, how you say, that, you know, it's all about aspects of these details, because we get too much. See, by putting an emphasis on management, we put emphasis on details. Because if we put an emphasis on management, then what aspect of management are we talking about? Right? We're not talking about necessarily the goal of everybody becoming Krishna conscious, developing love for God. So if your management doesn't somehow or another help people to become more God conscious and move them towards, then what's the point? So we're not talking about the goal of management. Then, you know, that's not what we have. When we have management meetings, we're not discussing that. Then, excuse me. Then we're not necessarily talking about the context of Krishna Prabhupada's directions and how to set up the movement, you know, the society, the institution, so that various, how you say, avenues of that, you know, that are managed, that these are avenues for enhancing the individual's Krishna consciousness, you know, like a temple or book distribution or a farm or a restaurant, and then how all this works together and how we have to see that in a dynamic way of that. So this is not being discussed either, right? Then the tactical is, okay, we have to have this aspect of, you know, like in a temple, okay, now we need a deity worship, we need book distribution, we need, you know, the temple, you know, like, let's say hospitality, we need the taking care of the devotees, we need, you know, some other, so many, whatever is, and how does that connect to that, making that temple, therefore, you know, the opportunities that are available, how does that make that the vehicle for Krishna consciousness, right? So therefore, those are the main principles of management. You know, if we're taking, you know, the basic thing. So then what becomes the discussion of the meeting? It's simply technical details of management. If someone did this, oh, I don't like that, I do it this way. What does it matter? As long as it accomplishes those other three, what does it matter? Everyone's a unique individual. No, but that's why we want to standardize so everyone does it the same. Everyone's a different person. They won't do it the same. And that's what Prabhupada said, don't centralize, don't bureaucratize. You know, and so then what happens is that then because of that emphasis on technical, mechanical detail, then people start doing the same thing in devotional service. They look at the mechanical detail. Neophytes anyway will look at that. But you're supposed to, leadership means that you bring up the consciousness. You bring them forward into those higher levels of understanding as far as they can. At least the details, what you're doing should be seen in the context of the general aspects, the tactical of the temple, right? The temple has to be seen in the context of how that and all other institutions and projects in ISKCON are working towards that ultimate goal, and how the ultimate goal is developing pure love for Krishna. And if that's not seen, that's not leadership. That's management, yes. But management and leadership, you know, are not necessarily, how you say, mutually inclusive. You can be a manager and not a leader. You can be a leader, not a manager. Now, if you can do both, that's better. So either you're someone who can lead and pull together managers, and therefore you are the ultimate managerial authority because you can pull together managers. Or you can manage something in specific, so you are a manager and you're leading in your field that to bring into the bigger strategy. So that's, but because if we put it down to the details and that's all we discuss, and we don't see the bigger picture, then we miss the point. So Bhagavatam is read by and appreciated by these great personalities who run countries, run the world. So they can see how it all connects. But much of the time we think, oh, Bhagavatam, Gita, these are nice philosophical, but they're not practical. That means people don't actually understand what is leadership. Otherwise, they would say, if it's not based on this, it's not leadership in our society. It might be leadership, you know, out in the LGBTQ plus society. You know, it's somewhere else. You know, in the woke society, you know, somewhere, you know, or, you know, like that. But it's not within Krishna consciousness. So one has to know what you're dealing with. One has to know the field. That's what Krishna is talking about in Gita. You have to know the field, where you fit into the field. So what is the field that you have to know? And so here is because pure devotional service, that full surrender to Krishna, that's what we're trying to obtain. Therefore, these five activities are what obtains that. And so you have to see things in context of that, how that's working. So you're doing book distribution because that will bring people in contact, that now they'll find out about these five things and will be involved in them. That's what you're doing. So you should be doing them. You're convincing others, giving others the opportunity. You're doing deity worship. Then you're surrendering to the Lord and you're making, arranging everything very nicely so others can come and be inspired to surrender to the Lord. Right? You're running the temple so that people can come and be comfortable, accommodated. You know, we talk about, oh, well, we have to have modern furniture. Great, but the place should be clean. Just because you have modern furniture, if it's not clean, who's comfortable? Right? You know, basically, if you go to any slum, everybody's got a couch. You know, it's very rare someone doesn't have a couch. They all have. You know, so one has to see is how is this furthering Krishna consciousness? So it's not a particular mundane perspective. It's not about a particular group of people. It's about the souls and their relationship with Krishna. Then you're dealing with the universal aspect. Then things start to work. Otherwise, then you can get distracted by all these other things. And if we're going in the direction now of the, you know, the modern culture, it likes to go in the direction of the Naradamas. Naradama means people who don't care about the Vedic version. You know, they know about it, don't care about it. They're Naradamas. So in other words, a Mudha, a Mayaya Pratigyana, an Asura, when they come in contact with Krishna consciousness and they reject it, that's when they become a Naradama. So why should we be talking about, oh, we don't accept this Indian culture, it's not for us, and this, we're preaching Naradamism. It's already going on nicely. We don't have to preach. It's plenty of people are doing. We don't have to do the work. They don't need help. So we have to be very, very careful that how we're doing, we're giving the wrong impressions to the devotees. So that's not leadership. Not in Krishna consciousness, not within a spiritual movement. It may be a leadership in some other movement, in some other social or economic environment. But it's not in ours. So that should be considered. Then you'll see the devotees, you know. So instead of just, oh, making a rule, oh, no, we're doing fast or not fast. So no one can fast more than this. You have to drink at least 3 liters of water a day. Otherwise, you know, the doctor says this, that. Then you make these rules. No one will follow them. You have to preach. So in other words, any problems that are there, it's resolved by us understanding, us following, and us teaching and preaching. That will solve any problem there is. And if anybody says, no, it won't, they're an illusion. They're an illusion that the material world has solutions to material problems. They don't. Material world is made, you know, to make trouble. Only the devotee, then he can rise beyond that. And therefore, it's not the material outcome. It's the Krishna conscious outcome. And you may say, oh, people won't be interested. Somehow or another, they make movies and write books and do things on Francis of Assisi. Guy didn't have a penny. or a lira or whatever it is that he didn't have, right? You know, he set up camp in a broken, run-down church. The roof caved in. So he thought, no one else wants it. Hey, let's be our new place, you know? And he was very renounced, very like this and that. So he still attracts attention, right? And people are inspired, of course. Then people also do television series on the Bourgeois, you know, and how decadent they are and that. But that doesn't inspire one in religiousness. It just, you know, it's just more prajalpa. So one has to appreciate then, no, there's a method that's been given. Prabhupada knows what we're doing here. And so we just have to do it. We just have to fill in. And that's the point. The individual accepting that and performing according to that, that's actual freedom. That's actual individuality. But saying, no, no, but why do we follow that? We make our own path. But that path that they create is a path they expect everyone else to follow. So all that has happened is that path has been created, you know, by a mundane mentality. And they expect everybody else to become part of it. Otherwise, you're just not, you know, up to date. And so it will never give any benefit, either materially or spiritually. And so it's just a waste of time. Like that. So as I said, if leadership isn't dealing with these first three aspects, then it's not actually leadership. It's being thought that no, that it's all about the detail. That's called micromanagement. Micromanagement is for the person who's in that particular, managing that particular micro space. You know, like the guy who does the cleaning and how he, you know, his, you know, keeping all his brooms and buckets and all that, what he keeps where and this. Leadership means, is it tidy? Is it organized? Is it clean? You open it, you can tell what's there. You can eat like this. It's not like a bomb went off. Because that means it's Krishna's closet. Therefore, it's clean and tidy. Right? So there's a difference. So one has to know what is leadership and what is management. And management has to follow leadership. That's why the ultimate managerial authority. Those authorities who lead managers. And if one has that understanding, one will be successful. And if one thinks that, no, being on the top, I must micromanage, then we see the result. Devotees, you know, get down into little details that are not important to us. Why do they even know these points? Where is it coming from? You know, it's coming from people who are reading too many books and explaining to people to make the discussion interesting or to give themselves a unique position because they're the authority in all these things or whatever is the motive. And it just goes. So that's what leadership is for, is to get rid of those misunderstandings. If leadership is not doing that, why do we need it? Right. So since that is the direction of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and then Srila Prabhupada then follows that in establishing, then we have to have it. So that means then people have to know their duties, as mentioned in Gita, perform your duty, and know how to apply it. One can say, oh no, but that's simplistic. No, that's descending. If you start off with detail and then try to get to the essence, it won't work. So one has to actually know how Krishna's laws work. Is that all right?
Yes.
Okay, so we'll end here for today. Jai. You can see it's getting darker and darker here, so Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki.